twice. I don't know what Danielle all of a sudden wants. I swear to fucking God. Her fucking, I know what she wants.
What does she want?
She wants money.
Yeah. Why did you guys, why did you guys have like a falling out?
I don't know. She became friends with fucking Hallie. And then she ended up, like, literally, I have no idea. I have done more for Daniela than, I mean, I can't.
Than anyone could ever have done for her.
But it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Of course
you. I don't even give a shit about that. But literally,
but you give a shit about what she perceives of it. And it's hurtful.
I don't know.
Okay, so, like I said before, I'm recording you.
Oh, you are?
I am. No, it's fine, it's fine.
I don't
want to see that thing. It's okay, I'll be the only one that has it. If you could say, if you could say something to everyone.
I mean, really, for real, I simply would appreciate for people not to dismiss the magnitude of when I say I need some space. Because it's very fucking rare that I ask for any fucking space.
Or anything.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. People getting mad at me for not returning their calls or their texts. I had Robin, a homeless person, who calls me 3 times a day with a life-threatening situation if she's not receiving money. I have Daniela, who, when she calls, it's always for something, but in a very roundabout way that includes many things like, please, I need a place to stay, and a job, and an apartment, and a plane ticket, and rent, and travel money for my boyfriend, who's a felon, who needs to get into rehab, and an abortion, and, I mean, it's always life-threatening shit. I get a call from Liz, who literally won't return my calls unless she needs something, and she's the only person that I get to talk to. She's the only connection to the rest of my world. I get calls from Natalie, who wants me to buy her mother a $7,500 Mother's Day gift. And how do I say no? And Hallie is the one who told Natalie that that's what she wants for Mother's Day. I get calls from my father to tell me that the New York Times is calling, but my old partner, Eric, who literally has done me harm for I don't know how long, is the one taking the calls because my father will not stop sending the calls to Eric. I have another New York Times reporter calling about my representation of the, literally, Dr. Patrick Ko, the fucking spy chief of China, who started the company that my partner, who was worth $323 billion, founded. It is now missing. The richest man in the world is missing, who was my partner. He was missing since I last saw him in his $58 million apartment and signed a $4 billion deal to build the fucking largest fucking LNG port in the world. And I am receiving calls from the Southern District of New York, from the U.S. Attorney himself. My best friend in business, Devin, has named me as a witness without telling me. In a criminal case, and my father, without telling me. And on top of that, I've picked up really nice friends, really wonderful people. Senna, who literally will not leave here, who's trying to give me a dog, whether you believe it or not. I love her, but you know what? Shauna, who literally has me so upset I'm giving her $500, $800 because her house was robbed. I've known her for 2 days. She's a 56-year-old woman that is wants to be my mother, and I don't know what to do but say yes. Fagan's here. I have to repair that relationship. My wife has fucking stage 4 cancer, and she's the only one that was nice to me today. But if I have to answer her phone call, and she says, please answer my phone calls, you just have to answer phone calls. Well, how does it feel to answer a phone call when every single phone call, I have not gotten one phone call today that said, hey, what can I do, Hunter, except from Uncle Jimmy? You're not a part of this fucking tape recording because I'm going to kill you. I don't want anyone to know that.
Okay.
But I mean it. Not one person. And that, by the way, that's not true because Uncle Jimmy actually, he called and asked me what he could do, but he also told me what I could do for him. And so did you, to be completely honest.
I did ask you about the Airbnb.
It's not about the money. I don't give a shit about the money.
No, it's about something.
Lily. Every single fucking person, and by the way, I'm not talking about it that I'm so tread upon and I'm so this and that and the other thing. Johnny called me and told me, he wanted to, Johnny Fuca, my fucking freshman year roommate who hasn't called me in months. I mean, fucking, I haven't talked to Johnny in 6 months, but I love him.
What did he ask for?
Well, it's interesting that 6 hours later, Dad had asked me what I should do. What he should do about Johnny and the job request that Johnny was making.
Who said that?
My dad.
Oh.
I said, Johnny, I'll do anything for you. But do you think, why would you fucking not call me about that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need anything. Johnny made me feel like, and I'm not kidding, like I was holding something over him. I've never even once, every single job Johnny has, every single one has been because of me. Every one.
And
he's done an incredible job,
and
I've never, ever.
Ever. Because you believed in him.
And he's great, and I love him. But how do you call me right now and make me feel like, don't do anything, I don't care. You don't care? Okay, fine. Good.
Fuck
Michael Carlucci's, whose father Alex's fucking son, who is the fucking head of protocol for Donald Trump, who's... father is one of the most wonderful people, and mother is. Michael Carlucci, who's fucking the head of protocol for Donald Trump, fucking calling me to make certain that my dad can be at an award ceremony for his mom and dad on October 26th.
Jeez.
And he needs an answer now. Today!
Can I ask you one thing? Do you feel like these responsibilities that you feel were responsibilities that your brother took on as well, and now you have to take on both of them?
I didn't take on these fucking responsibilities. He didn't do any of this shit.
Yeah.
I swear to fucking Christ, he didn't.
He said
he was smarter than me. No, he did the right ones.
Yeah.
He worried about mom, he worried about me, he worried about mom, dad, Ashley.
Yeah.
Kids, my kids. And maybe a couple friends. That's it. And not even the friends.
The shit that mattered.
No, but he took it. But that was enough for him, man. Because he had to take on the fucking weight of the world with those people.
And then he had all of the work he did that was so important.
Fuck the fuck.
But do you feel like you have to take on...
No, what I feel like is that every single one of those persons has a fucking beef against me, too. Because I let every single
and
one of those people
don't, because they're blessed that they even have
every
them
single
their
one
life.
Of those people, though, right now is sitting there thinking that I did them wrong.
Yeah, but if you leave
think
them,
no, but think about it.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so go through that. Except for Uncle Jimmy, you. Except for that, okay. Every single person, including, by the way, going to dinner with Finnegan and her four friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about that.
2 hours and Finnegan and giving Finnegan $1,250 today.
Yeah.
And what I get is thanks for dinner, Dad.
Yeah.
When she did not tell me that she was coming to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, Naomi's coming next week to go to Malibu Ranch, which I really, that, the reason she thought about it was because I wanted to go.
Yeah.
There's only one space.
Is that true?
No. She's going. Which is fine, I love that.
Yeah.
In the midst of this, I'm talking about a fucking criminal case in which Devin literally has named me as a witness without telling me, while he's working for and getting money from Jeff Cooper. for an idea that was mine and all the connections in which they're doing for
fuck
me.
Fuck that.
And I'm paying $250,000. I'm paying half my fucking salary.
What happens if you just take that money away? Can you?
Yeah, I could.
So what happens if you do that?
I don't fucking know. What happens is, you know, I don't know. I just don't make promises that I
that you don't keep. Except to yourself. No, no, don't be sorry. I'm a Molly. I'm like having a...
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have talked to things after your fucking...
A moment.
Boyfriend. But I mean, honey, I mean, the fucking... I'm telling you the truth. Is that this is the thing. Is that just go through... That was today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's today. And people wonder why I am fucking a little bit fucking... jacked up.
And avoiding their phone calls? Duh.
On top of that, Hallie literally is running a campaign against me.
And the thing that sucks about that is that you two had a time when you loved her so much and you thought that she was...
But I don't understand it. I don't. Why do I... Why does it... You know, by the way, and so what? What's my... You know... Anyway, I don't know.
What... What does it mean? It means that people will...
Can I let you down?
That's yeah, but I'm, like, smart enough to know, like, you know?
I know, but still.
You let me down, and I was going to hold you accountable for letting me down, but, like...
Should I hold you accountable for letting me down? I don't hold you accountable.
No, you should hold me accountable. I'm never going to text about you ever again. And I shouldn't. And I know that... One of my flaws, one of my devilish sides, is that I like to talk about things like you because I like to show off. Duh. You think that the night that we had sex, I wasn't texting like three people, being like, I'm lying in bed with this incredible man. Like, I know this word sounds really silly to you because Zana used it. But you are iconic. And so am I. Okay? Mm-hmm. Remember that. Okay?
I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm being serious. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so if you have to think, who's an iconic person to you?
David Bowie.
Johnny Cash?
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Your dad is an iconic person.
Sure.
Your brother's an iconic person. Who else? Mm. Someone from a different field, let's think.
I don't fit those categories, that's for sure.
What's the category?
Which I'm asking, I don't know what the category is.
The category isn't anything but being iconic. Duh. Who else?
I don't know whether you're being ironic.
I'm not being ironic. I think I'm the most iconic person I know, except for you. And now we're iconic together.
Yeah. Sorry. No, you're done. What are you sorry about?
I don't know. I'm being silly.
Yeah,
can I tell you a fantasy of mine?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the Met Gala with you.
What was that? They just had the Met Gala, didn't they?
Oh, well, I'll show you the Met Gala. The Met Gala was on Monday.
No, I'm saying they just had the Met Gala.
Yeah, it was on Monday.
But what was it?
The Met Gala has been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in the museum, in the Met, there is the Costume Institute, which is the mini museum of fashion. And every summer, they have a show. My grandma used to take me every year. The first one she took me to was Poiret, which is like a French designer. And then they had the Alexander McQueen retrospective. They had one that was on, it was so cool. It was the Prada.
What was the last one though?
The most recent one was
Monday.
The one on Monday. So then, but the show, it was basically it's a gala where the tickets are like crazy expensive because mm-hmm. it raises money for the.
Can you give me a ice? Sorry, yeah. Let me. I can ice here. Sorry. No, I can.
I'm gonna call for some.
Is there anything in there? Mm-hmm. I can go get some at the pool.
The two trays are empty.
Okay, I'll get some at the pool.
Can I come with?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, but so.
Yeah.
Basically, the gala started as.
I know what it started as. What was the last gala?
The theme?
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, why does it. I've never seen the gala televised before, and this was.
Oh, well, so basically every summer from June to August is a show, and it's a theme. It's a, you know,
yeah.
A show. And so the gala is. The opening night of the show,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the theme is whatever the show
and
is.
What was the show?
The show is called Heavenly Bodies.
Now?
Yes, okay. It just opened. Heavenly Bodies, Fashion, and the Catholic Imagination.
So what was the why was that so?
It wasn't. It was just the theme this year. Last year was Ray.
So what was on it? Why was it? The reason I ask is both Natalie and Natalie asked about it. She was watching it with Howard.
I mean, I thought it was interesting because. It's about religion, but it's also like, fuck you, anyone who's gonna say that this is cultural appropriation, like Christianity fucking ruled the world, that's not cultural appropriation. Like, I mean, they have.
I don't know what you're saying right now. We're kind of going off on a tangent that doesn't have any, because I don't know.
So, for example, two years ago, the show theme was. What was it called?
I understand what the show theme was. I really do.
For example, the show was, I guess it was Chinese inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about China.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the whole show, it was so beautiful. I saw the whole thing. But it was a mix between traditional Chinese fashion and like an Yves Saint Laurent or like a Tom Ford dress that like references it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I get it.
I think that.
What did they do for this?
For this one, it was, it's the same thing. It's like a mix between like traditional religious clothing.
Like what? Like the Pope's, like papal stuff?
Yeah, like papal stuff. And then something like a Marcella dress that was inspired by it.
You know who designed the Swiss Guard,
the Swiss Guard? Oh, yeah. the people that guard the Vatican?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They guard the Pope.
Oh, they guard the Pope.
Yeah.
What, the fashions?
What, but not just the big, what? No, who was the designer?
No.
I'll show you. Yeah, I think this is cool.
But so, it's so funny, because it's like, 2 years ago, it was all about Chinese culture.
Michelangelo.
He designed
the. Designed the Swiss Guard.
And they still wear it?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
How fucking cool is that?
That's so cool. That's iconic.
That's what I would call iconic.
Yes.
I haven't reached the level of being having a suit designed by Michelangelo. Baby.
When did Michelangelo die?
1600?
So how many years ago was that? Like 600? Like more?
No. 500.
That is crazy. Wait, let me see a picture.
They're actually really amazing.
The outfits?
Read the what is required by the qualifications, which don't make any sense to this day, but they have become like a.
Should I read it out loud?
No, I know it.
Oh, well, I'm gonna read it out loud.
Okay.
Before applying for the Pontifical Swiss Guard, each recruit must be single male of Swiss citizenship. Why Swiss?
Because historically. Oh. Anyway,
standing at least 5'8" tall between ages 19 and 30 and holding a high school degree or a professional diploma. Each recruit must be a faithful Roman Catholic as endorsed by his hometown parish priest.
Each recruit must have completed basic military training in Switzerland, and in order to continue to the first 5 weeks of training with the guards in Rome. After this training period, they are known as the halberdiers. Owing to their halberds, the primary weapons of the Swiss mercenaries used in the 14th and 15th century. What's a halberd? Is it a weapon? It's like
no, they're mercenaries. There was like a probably a
after being sworn in, the halberdiers and their parents get a private audience with the Pope, where they receive a personal blessing. A Swiss guard's shortest contract is 25 months. Once a halberdier starts his contract, he will attend Italian lessons if he does not already speak the language. By the end of the first year of service, the halberdier is usually ready for guard duty at the main gates of Vatican City, dealing with everyday tourists and often VIP guests too. The everyday uniform of the Swiss guard is the blue duty uniform. The colorful uniforms in the Medici colors of red, yellow, and blue, known as the gala uniforms, were put to use only after 1910. Each gala uniform is sewn by the tailors inside the Vatican barracks, tailor-made to fit each Swiss guard. This process takes at least 30 hours per uniform. It's so cool.
What?
It's so cool.
Yeah. I don't really get to that. You know?
Hmm?
It's just, how did you get to that?
Mm-mm.
How did you get to the Swiss Guard?
The Met Gala.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you have to pray.
Imagine going to an insane gala. Everyone is in giant gowns in the fucking Met.
I think
Met.
I've been to the Met Gala already.
You've been?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. When?
I think I went with Rose. I think I went with April. No, that wasn't the Met Gala.
When?
I don't
in
know,
the 90s or in the 2000s?
No, like 2008 or something like that. Like when. Like
what show was it? Was it the McQueen show?
I have no idea. Oh. I don't know.
How much was the ticket?
Oh, I didn't buy the ticket.
But how much do you think it was?
I have no idea.
I think it's like 20 grand.
I sat, okay, mm-hmm. in the mat, at a table.
Where the pyramid thing is?
Yeah. Around that, all around that. But they changed the rooms too.
This year.
And then they had you know what? I went with Lily and Bo.
Who's Lily?
It was even before I got married.
Is Bo. Lily Liz's daughter?
No, yes, she is, but with Bo's girlfriend for a long time.
Mm.
You know it's 1:40.
Mm-hmm.
What
should we run to the bar?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I feel like hopping when I'm on Molly.
Okay. This juice, he gets off first. And he walks up and there are pillboxes. And they're fucking literally cutting down.
What is a pillbox?
Pillboxes are the fucking things that were built into the beach where they had those M50 fucking giant fucking bullets and they were just wiping Americans out. Just wiping them out. But they kept coming. But they'd only come if they had like somebody like
an executive,
charge.
Yeah.
But no, you're like not even executive. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Said, yo, man, defied orders. He fucking stands on the beach the whole day. Gets shot. Stands on the beach and he fucking directs people with his fucking cane. I mean, probably saved 10,000 lives. They took the boxes and were able to do it. He walked up first and stood there and said, come on.
Yeah. It takes people like that to make.
Pretty amazing man.
What? Pretty amazing man? Fuck yeah.
But
you know
pretty amazing in that
Teddy Roosevelt was selfish and fucking egotistical, and he had a horrible... But Audubon comes to him when he's president. In four years, Teddy Roosevelt, the largest fucking monopoly ever to exist, he literally broke apart a monopoly that was controlled not by just fucking Rockefeller. Every single oil facility, gas from beginning to end, from discovery to distribution. And he broke them up. And he won. He fucking took on the Supreme Court. He created the national parks. He went in the national parks.
No.
Audubon comes to him and he says, "We have to do something about this." He says, "You can't write me, do." He said, "Well, Mr. President, I know a lot of people said that you would do something." He said, "Nope." And he went down and he figured out a way by executive order to turn that piece of property into a national park, which was then challenged. And he fucking went against the challenge.
Yeah.
He won just by force of fucking nature.
Because he had enough to get people behind him, even if they were too scared.
You know what? Not even. It was an amazing thing. He said, not many people really fucking like Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took so much of them on.
Yeah.
He took so many of the people still exist.
Because he was challenging comfort, and he was challenging what, you know?
Yeah, and against people that he knew were still going to exist, still going to write the books, still going to say what an asshole he was, what a fucking puff he was when he was at Harvard, and he did this, that, and the other thing. Teddy Roosevelt fucking wrote 30 books. In his spare time.
His fucking spare time.
Swear to God. Which there was none.
Yeah.
He went to South Dakota because he was so depressed when his wife died. And he fucking literally tried to basically... I mean, he did the fucking craziest shit.
When did he go to South Dakota?
Late 20s.
How old is he?
He was in the late 20s when he went.
Oh, he was in his late 20s.
Yeah.
So his wife,
I guess he went to South Dakota when he was like 25, when he was already fucking president of the fucking assembly in New York. He was the youngest person ever to become head of the New York State Legislature. He then became Secretary of the Navy. He became the youngest governor. He became the youngest sheriff in New York. He was the guy that literally cleaned up New York when he was like 20, 29 years old. Because he was the only one
What did his dad do?
His dad was a business person, but his dad was also the kind of the moral fucking in the good way.
Yeah.
He was like...
And his mom.
But his dad was like, he was the most respected man in New York. He was then vilified during the Civil War. It killed his family. I mean, it hurt him so much. And that's where he got a lot of his hatred. Not his hatred, his willingness to like take on the status quo, or what became the status quo.
To his fire.
Because he became really, really, like, those people aren't what they seem. They aren't the people that come to my house and, you know, and talk about their summer homes and, you know, and we're all friends. Amazing, amazing, amazing person. I don't know why I got on that, but he created the national parks. Literally, almost the entirety of the national park system.
Which, at the end of the day... is the most important thing, because the earth is gonna die.
Yeah, it is. But you know what probably was the more important thing? It was what he did with Rockefeller and the monopoly. America would not have survived it. It literally would not have survived. It still is.
America,
you can see Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is the legacy of what we could have ended up with, where we almost are kind of returning to, which is that fame, wealth, notoriety, accomplishment in many senses.
Surface level.
It's like when Kanye West says it.
That's so funny.
Kanye West says that he was, you know, he's going to be. Donald Trump isn't a patch on the ass of fucking.
He's a symbol of consciousness.
I just don't understand it. And it's not only that, but he's a bad person. I don't understand
doesn't
understand that.
The only
that
reason
person,
Kanye does what he does is because, one...
Well, by the way, I hate that.
What he's doing?
No, I hate people who only... their purpose is to create, like, press. Like,
chaos to create something that wasn't there before, whatever it is, and disturb the people.
It's all there. He, you know what he is? He's not doing that. I promise you. He's not doing it as a fucking artistic move. You know what he's doing? He realizes that there has to be an incredibly large crossover culture for him to be able to actually do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And you know what he is? He's not going to lose his fucking... He's not going to lose his fan base. He's not going to lose the kids that watch the fucking Kardashians. Mm-mm. He has that
and
fucking
soda. And if he makes enough beats, then...
But you know what he does? He fucking endears himself to the... To
Jesus. He called himself Jesus.
And he endears himself, though, to the white fucking... pseudo fucking racist there in South Carolina. Like, I love when Donald Trump tells the truth. And so, you know, their daughters aren't really that too bad, not too appalled when they come home with Jesus fucking shoes.
But you know that most of the reason why he's doing that is because of who he is and wants to be. And who he, like, who he wants to be.
I know, he wants to be notorious.
And he wants to do shit that's going to disrupt.
Yeah, I understand the need to disrupt, but you disrupt...
No, but, no, but like what J. Cole said, have you ever thought about your impact?
Exactly. You disrupt... If you want to disrupt, you disrupt for the purpose of changing something.
For the better.
Not just to make a splash, not to disrupt...
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not even... You know what? I guess disrupt's not the word, but it is. You know what he wants to do? He wants to shock. Because he realizes from his experience with the fucking Kardashians and everything that he's done in his career, mm-hmm. that there really is no such thing as bad press.
Mm-hmm.
And
at his level.
At his level. And so, by the way, he's going to find
fucking,
out. By the way, he's going to find out that there is. I promise you.
Yeah. That song that he just put out, that the lyrics are literally poopty scoop, is like...
By the way, that was so, to me...
Fucking rude.
Yeah. It's rude to everybody that actually thinks that you're an artist.
Yeah,
that,
because
that,
you want to know why?
Your stuff.
It's playing in the fucking clubs.
By the way, it's basically saying, you're so stupid you listen to this.
Yeah.
You're so stupid you'll buy anything I fucking sell.
Yeah.
I could put literally, now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell pooper scoopers, and it's going to be funny, and you know what? I'm going to put them on my shoes, and you're going to wear them, and it's so stupid. And he dumbs down. If you want to be a real fucking... If you want to be disruption, be disruption in the fucking
the
way.
Change you can fucking see. Go work at a fucking program. Go
seriously,
raise money for a school.
He wants to do that. You know
go
what you should
see
be doing?
The kids that get affected
if
by
you really
it.
Want to disrupt, why wouldn't you right now be sitting there with Cardi B and say, hey, Cardi, you know what you can do right now? You can change the way in which people, everyone, looks at people in your profession.
Mm-hmm.
Which is honorable. If you're honorable, if you honor the people that do it, Cardi, if you honor yourself for having been that, and the women that you work with, and the strength that they have, and the conviction that they have that they have to do what they're for families, if you can honor that, and you can say, well, all you fucking men, you all come here, and then you go home and you fucking deny it. And not only that, all you women want to be that, and you fucking are jealous of it.
Yeah.
If you can disrupt that, then you know what? You change the way in which society looks at women who aren't forced to.
Which will eventually affect policy and affect real life changes.
And so you have people with... I mean, number one change could that be? Is a understanding that human sexuality is not something that to be ashamed of. If you want to see a naked woman... We've wanted to see naked women since the from the time of Eve.
Because it's fucking beautiful.
But you push it down and down and down, and then
what
you end up, you end up with dancers that are raped. You end up with dancers that only become dancers because they've been abused by men. They need, it's such bullshit, man.
It's like that thing in the Camille Paglia, where she said that because man was birthed from woman, he has that sense of owed to her,
mm-hmm.
and that he repels that sense of ode so that he has to... It's that whole thing of putting someone down to make yourself feel better.
What it is, exactly what I said. It's the largest, and just what she is worried about. It's the same thing that the church upvote. I don't know why so-and-so is so angry with me. I never did them a favor. The ultimate favor that has ever been done is the birth of a man, or the birth of a child by a woman. It's the ultimate pain. It is the ultimate giving. It is literally the greatest gift that has ever been given. And any gift that is given will cause resentment. And the greatest resentment is a man's resentment against his mother, against his birth, against the idea. It's literally ingrained in us. All we do is sit there and realize that you women are, you women hold this over you.
Something. Yeah.
No, that I owe you.
Yeah.
I owe you. I owe you because you literally are the creators of the world.
And
you literally give birth.
I'm the creator to anything that I know and experience.
Anything. By the way, anything.
Me.
Nothing exists without your creation.
Yeah.
And I resent it. And so what do?
Toxic masculinity.
I rape. I demean. I hold my physical power
feed
over
your ego.
Not even my ego. It's because I, deep down, at the core of my being, realize that I cannot exist without you.
Yeah.
And if you have given me that beauty, that gift, that one thing, the fucking most natural thing for anyone to do, obviously, as we can see, is to fucking resent. They resent what they cannot give back. I cannot give you the king gift that you gave me, so what do? If I'm a fucking, if I'm like 99%, what do? Not only push against it, I fucking want to destroy you.
Yeah.
I want to cover up. It's everything that Shakespeare has ever said.
So in terms of
He wants to kill his father. He wants to kill his mother. Oedipal complex.
Yeah.
All of it literally comes from that.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
So what do you think it is about good people that are able to, someone like you, someone that...
You know why? What's good is this. Is that you have a mother that understands, or you have someone that gave you the gift. And this is why I think I failed in many ways. Is it someone, when you have a mother, that somehow intuitively understands that she has to make you realize that you're more, that you don't owe her.
Yeah.
That the greatest gift that she was given is
you.
When a mother, however,
self-worth.
Turns on
yeah.
you and says, why didn't you go to this college instead of that college?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that? You know what? It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. You begin to resent the creator.
Yeah.
And when you resent the creator, you then fucking rail against everything.
Because you know that at that moment they're thinking of themselves, not you. They're thinking of, you know, their
child. No, it's not even because of that, but it does
themselves.
Not allow you to ever get over the fact that you
you're owed. Yeah.
And anybody that owes, that's why I've never given somebody money ever in my life as a loan. Ever.
You've never given something to anyone who's ever then...
With the expectation of something in return.
No, I was going to say something else. Have you ever given something to someone who then didn't try to get more from you after?
Yeah. Yes.
Who?
You. I've never felt that from you. And even in the slightest, my brother. My brother, it wasn't even a question of giving or not giving. Uncle Jimmy. You know, I can name a lot of people. My grandfather, this is what makes it me ashamed. My grandfather would never have told anyone. Not that I tell anyone, but I do tell you, I tell, like, I feel my anger, I start to say, but why did this and I did that? My grandfather never told anybody. I didn't find out what my grandfather Hunter did for people until well after I died. Nobody in my family knows what Uncle Jimmy has done for so many people. My grandfather's, you know, I swear to God, if there weren't many people there. But I swear to God, if there were 10 people there, I mean, if there one person was 25, said, did you know your grandfather played for my daughter's college? And I didn't know until 2 days ago. Did your grandfather know? Mm-hmm. Did you know your grandfather, when we lost our business, he paid our mortgage. And I didn't know until, he would literally do it and know it. And the one thing that I, and is this, that my grandfather did, is that part of me giving is also a need.
It's a selfish thing.
No, it is so selfish. But the part that really bothers me is this. My grandfather did it almost completely anonymously. But my grandfather didn't have this fucking problem that I do.
Did he have any substance problems?
What? No. Well, yeah, he didn't have alcohol problems, but he didn't drink it my whole life. But, you know, my grandfather, the difference is this, the thing I'm desperate for? I'm desperate for a mom. I know from my stories that my mom was the mom that said I was her gift. But I don't have anybody to
tell that to.
To say,
to
okay.
To reassure you.
And so I want to give the gift back.
But you can't give it to her.
And so I give it to Shona. And I give it to... And you know what? It's not the bad people.
No.
And it's not like you shouldn't expect to
and
be
at the same time, it's like... You need to know that, like... These people... will never meet another...
I know.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. They'll never meet another you again. So even if, for some reason, if you fucking drop dead tomorrow, if something happens, you get locked up, you know, fucking whatever. If it ends, if it gets cut off, all they will remember is the blessing, and then they'll have the strength to figure it out on their own. And then it's all back to, let's appreciate my blessings. Let's appreciate what I do have right now. And all they're going to remember is that.
Sweetheart, if I was to die tomorrow, my eulogy, I mean, my fucking... It would not be very pretty.
Oh, I would make sure it was pretty.
I don't think half the people that I've done anything for would show up. I don't think that 90% would.
Would you want them to show up?
Yeah, there's a part of me that would.
Yeah. It's okay, it'll be televised. You can see it on their TVs.
I wouldn't be televised. The President of the United States wouldn't come talk to my fucking funeral.
You wouldn't want that shit.
I'm being serious, though.
You don't want Donald Trump's...
Not that, I mean, I'm... If I can come and speak, Michelle wouldn't. I mean, my point is this, is I don't know anybody that would want to come fucking eulogize me. Other than my dad, obviously not.
Your uncle?
Of course I'm doing it.
So many people. So many people.
I'm not being melodramatic.
No, you're not.
And I'm not being morose. I'm just saying the truth of the matter is, realize is this, is that I've fucking done...
When was obviously. The last time you woke up and said, I am thinking about myself today. What do I want from today? What
See,
am
I
going to do
think
today?
That, but I don't think that's the ultimate.
It's not.
But I don't
but
even think
it's the
think
only
it,
way.
Think,
it's self-care. It's the only way to survive.
There's a difference between self-care and saying I'm going to wake up and think about myself. You know, the only self-care I know is going to do something for somebody else. It's the only thing that ever makes me feel good.
Yeah, but that's not long-lasting.
I know, honey, but you could do it your whole life.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
You can, but the life isn't the long life, and the life that is your destiny, or, you know, your potential.
I know, I'm such a fucking drama queen.
No,
who gives a shit?
I'm a drama queen.
No, I know, but, like, Jesus Christ. And part of it is this, is that, you know, I do the other side of it. You don't know.
What other side of it?
The anonymous people, you know, 75, but you don't know.
Of course you do. Of course you do, but that's, that
but
is
the way, but I know,
morals so. Passed on from your family and from the way you were raised.
I do understand.
But you need to think about it in terms of, you know,
You know what the thing about Teddy Roosevelt? What? I admire him so much because he has something that I can never do.
Which is what?
Everything that he did, and he did great things, very much like my father, did great things. But they were also in pursuit of the iconic Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was a master at self-promotion.
But you know what I say to that?
That's you.
Fuck, yeah.
I know you are, baby. Why do you think I like you?
You know what else that...
Because you have what I don't, and I don't. But
you know what else about that? Because everything about that would ring in your head, would ring the bells that says, well, that's the other side of things. That's kind of the selfish side. That's the kind of... But everyone needs to feel that. Every single person needs to feel that confidence and needs to be their number one fan.
But do you understand that I am my number one fan?
But you don't act that way.
No, honey, but I am.
I know you are.
But I am. But I'm what I'm saying is...
That's why I fucking love you.
But by the way, I am more confident than anybody I know.
But sometimes you're not.
I know. And the times that I'm not...
Like trying to ask Shauna to leave.
But the time that I'm not...
Yeah. It's an emotional thing.
Because I have been fucking...
It's a heartbreaking
heartbroken. Because if you put yourself out to this degree and you get broken so many times, why do I do drugs? It's fucking obvious. I can't fucking handle it.
Okay, so going back to Teddy Roosevelt, what do you think about his perception of self-preservation?
Well, look, I think...
Was that something he was thinking about? Constantly, like throughout all of it, or was he, you know, fuck it, if I die doing this, I die doing... I mean, he did think that, but at the same time, there was still something in the back of his mind that said,
I know what he thought.
I need to live
longer.
I need to do more.
By the way, you know why Teddy... No, no. You know why Teddy Roosevelt walked up to that stage and gave his speech?
Why?
Because he thought he was going to die. And you know what? He literally knew this. What a fucking better story than that.
Fuck yeah. Here, finish mine. You wanna go?